Okay, good morning. Shalom Aleichem. Freilichem, Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat Sameach. Not sure what the correct way to express your greetings of Simcha on Tu Bishvat. Actually, our shir today is going to be an anti-Tu Bishvat theme. It's going to be anti-environment, perhaps. We'll see what that means in Sefer Shoftim with Shimshon. But we will mend the ash. We have a new shir. I like to stay consistent. We're learning Shoftim. Let's stay with the topic, and we'll find within the topic themed importance related to the day of Tu Bishvat itself. Thank you, Mendy, but I need some boxer that was going to break my teeth. That's really the minhag of my forefathers, the Markowitz. You know what I would do? I remember on Yeshiva Flatbush, I don't remember the programs of what they would do. I'm sure they had amazing programs. I was in Flatbush from fifth grade to 12th grade. Remember elementary school, waiting on the bus. And on the bus, they would always leaving, going back home. It was for us, it was a 45-minute to an hour drive back. On the bus, they would hand us like these bags, like just like this. And in the bags would be boxer. It was like, that's like black licorice to a 12-year-old kid. My mother loves it. So I always would like collect from my friends. Here, Mom, right?
Yeah, but you know? Saw again to have the soft boxer, but it's soft.
I'm still not a fan. But that's like my Tu Bishvat. Put the boxer in a cup of boiling water. That's probably what Rishuma Yochai and his son Ramalazar, that's what they probably ate, right? They put in some hot water and it tasted good. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so we're up to the 15th chapter of Sefer Shoftim. We are in already now. We're in chapter 3 of Shimshon, just of the story of Shimshon. And for those keeping score at home, Shimshon right now is going to surpass in terms of words and in terms of prakim of all the other Shoftim before him. Right? Devorah was this week's Haftorah. It's a very long Haftorah. Super prakim. Right, Chan. Oh, that's not Chan. It doesn't count. It's next week. But she's not. She wasn't a shofetes. But you have Gidon, Yiftach, two and a half, at most. Shimshon is going to have plenty of prakim. That this is like a very hefty part of Shoftim, and the biggest real estate in Torah is the Torah itself. And it's fascinating to think about why Shimshon himself gets so much real estate, prime real estate, in the middle end of Sefer Shoftim. Okay, and for those that are in Florida, Imo Anochi Betzara, I'm sure you feel our pain. You're slow and sleep. We can't feel Tu Bishvat here today. I don't think I could see any green outside. It's all white and gray and slushy. It's wonderful. Yes. Your traps.
Yeah,
so let's talk about that. You know, Shimshon and David. It's a fair comparison in terms of the scandal shebo, right? That there's murkiness about their actions. So I think that's very, very important, right? Already we saw murkiness with Shimshon was who he was marrying. Was she Jewish? Did she convert? Would the Rabbanut HaRashit of Israel convert her today? I don't know. It's like that's a political and controversial question. I don't know. And then the To'einahu Mevakeish, she used the pretext because she tricked him and she then went to be with another one of the friends and he killed 30 people. Not those people, other people. So let's continue on, and we need to see more about Shimshon to discuss more of his life. Vayhi miyamim bimei kitzir chitim. Parakdes vapaskal. It was sometime later. Miyamim yamima misof yamim. Mitsuda Sion writes here, it was the end of the year. It was a year later. Meaning a year later, he has this woman that he married, but he's not living with her because she's living with somebody else. And it is the time of the wheat harvest, which means it's a very hot time of the year. it is probably around, when does the Kisir Chitim, when is that time? Sukkot time. Right? October, September. It's warm. It is Eretz Yisrael. Vayifkod Shimshon es ishto bigdei izim. So Shimshon remembers his wife. He remembers his wife that fortunately left him. He remembers her. So what does he do? That does not bring up good memories necessarily. So how does he remember her? Big day, big di izim, by sending her a kid, a goat. Vayomer avoa el ishti chadrera. He says, I want to be back with my wife. I miss her. I yearn for her. I long for her. He sent her a gift ahead of time. And Vayomer avo el ishti achadra. I'm going to go be alone with her in seclusion. Velo nisano aviha lavo. His father, her father, did not allow him to be with his wife. Already, like, this is, like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So the father says like this. Vayomer avi. Right? He's protecting. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Yeah. So let's see what happens. Vayomer avi amor amarti ki sano senesi. She told me, right? Or I assume, according to Morris, I assume that you guys don't like each other. Like, this is not a good marriage. She's not with you. You're not with her. It's a year later. You barely spent any time together. Vetsinana lemerecha. And I gave her to your friend. Because I figured she breached your trust and your confidence. So this is not a good idea. Alo aposa haktana tovamina. But why don't you marry her younger sister? Tihina lecha tachteha. Maybe you should marry her instead. Okay, what bothers you about this? What's the issue here? What's challenging about this?
What is it?
How can we defend? Okay, check. You can't marry two sisters. If the two sisters are converts, then they're not really sisters halakhically.
So if a brother and a sister both convert, they get married.
That is an issur derabanan. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says.
So yeah. We're afraid that people would just do that for that purpose.
I forget this exact language. It's Gemara Sanhedrin. Yeah. So, how can we defend? Can we defend the father-in-law's intervention or idea, Shadchanas here? Can we defend it?
No.
Jay Hirschhorn says no.
No. Yeah. I said
that. Yeah, so Yossi said, one second, Rabbi Lab. Yossi said, this is what I think also, right? That this is my best defense, that they're afraid of him. Look what he did a year ago. If I don't give him something, then it's going to be really bad. So let me at least offer something. Yeah, Rabbi Lap, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that the father just can't say, I'm going to give you my younger daughter. Maybe she doesn't want to marry this man, Shimshon. Maybe she doesn't want him. Maybe he doesn't want her. And he didn't.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Vayomer lehem Shimshon. Nikesi haplami plishtim ki ose ani imam ra'a. So, this time, he says, I am blameless from the Plishtim. Rashi writes, the din e'eset lehem hara'a. They deserve evil. They deserve to be punished. Who deserves to be punished? What? All the Plishtim. All the Plishtim deserve to be punished over here, and I am definitely not to be blamed. The Malbim writes here a very important line. For sure, she married the second guy publicly. Why didn't anybody stand up and say, you can't do that? One woman can't have two husbands. She's already married to somebody else. They didn't get divorced. And the fact that that was done before Hesia, that was done publicly, and nobody said boo, is enough for him, again, a pretext, to go against the Plishtim. Whoa. Now, what does this, we were talking about other stories in Tanakh, what does this sound like? What is this going back to? Shechem, right? Shimon Alevi, right? What did Shechem do? He raped Dina. Shimon Alevi, they didn't. They had a whole trick and a whole ruse. And they said, oh yeah, you want to convert? And Shechem said, oh, let's, our man will marry your daughter and we'll have, it'll be wonderful and be great. We'll have a whole, you know, party and we'll all, you know, marry each other and it's going to be awesome. So they said, okay, sounds like a great idea, but we need you to get a bris milah first. Get a bris milah on day three, most painful day. Shimon Levi come in and they kill everybody. So what gives them the right to kill everybody? How are they allowed to do that? Are they allowed to do that? Right, that sounds like vigilante justice. Right?
And Mark so, Woods.
Yes. Very left.
All of the Plishtim. For this particular act. It's the father who allowed this, and he should be perhaps punished, not the entire group. You're punishing a whole Plishtim, okay? I don't want to say my friends, but I don't want to get into a fight with the whole community there.
What's the pasuk, Abe? Va'kol ha'eda yiksof, isha chad yachta. Right, one person is going to sin and you're going to punish the entire nation. So the Ramban writes in Parshat Vayishlach, it's the end of Vayishlach, he writes that you see from here, the fact that nobody stood up against Shechem must be that they don't have any adjudication or formal system to report anybody to the authorities and take care of this on their own. They have no dinim, no judges. Therefore, they're in violation of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And if a non-Jew is in violation, a Gentile is in violation of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, then Chai Misa. Okay, they didn't kill them. Oh, Beherek. Okay, good. They did it. They did it the right way. So, nonetheless, Yaakov was very perturbed by this, and Yaakov gave them Musar, and he gave them Musar at the end of his life. Maybe there are other ways to do it. But Shimshon is acting similar to his ancestors. He's following along that path of Shimon and Levi. Hey, this is something that everybody knew and no one said a thing. I have the right to mete out justice. Yes.
So we're saying that justice is going to help. You have to have a court system.
Yeah.
To invoke the death penalty here, do you also, do we have to have a court system, even though it's a formality? But you have to have that day in court saying that these people are guilty of this, or no, you can just go out and say
the court system is different. 1-8 is, like, for example, 1-8 is kosher enough. I don't know if a warning is necessary when it comes to the Sheva Mitzvah Noach. It's actually funny. It's like a daf or two away from the other Gemara we're talking about Achoso and converts. So Mistama, there needs to be a Beis Din, but Shimon Levi probably didn't have a Beis Din, and they acted on their own. So Shimshon was acting on his own. Again, if he's a shofet of the generation, then that might give him more leeway in terms of how he's acting. There is a Horasha. David HaMelech killed people without Beis Din also. There's a halacha, there's a clause in the rules of leadership, and especially when you're a king, it's called Mori B'Malchus. If you deem somebody as someone that is a threat to the king, and is rebelling against the king, the king is allowed to mete out justice. So there's several people in the beginning of David HaMelech's reign, even before he was anointed as king, but no one knew it. It was done privately. That's the Haftorah for Parshat Zachor. He was anointed as king after Shaul did not kill Agag. He was then anointed privately to Shmuel, but then was on the run from his father-in-law for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. In that time, after Shaul died, he was formerly the king, but no one knew yet. He killed somebody who admitted to killing Shaul. So he said that that's wrong. And then what, two other people killed Shaul's son as an act of loyalty to David. David abhors revenge and hated that. He still loved Shaul, and he had them killed and hung with their fingers cut off. So a king has certain rules that apply to the king and the king only. One of them is Mori B'Malchus. So it could be that Shimshon has some type of justice system here as well. We're trying to understand this in a context, in a halakha context. That's the way some mefarshim do this. That's what I think what the Malbim's comment is really saying over here. Vayomer lahem Shimshon. Okay, Vayila Shimshon, Pasuk Dalet. So how does Shimshon exact justice? And this is where we get to our Tu Bishvat reference, where if Tu Bishvat was a person, they'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, you're learning this on Tu Bishvat? I can't believe it. Vayila Shimshon. Vayilko Shalosh Meo Shualim. What did he do? Vayokod Shlosh Meo Shualim.
Yeah, a fox.
He trapped 300 fish. Okay, we're good. So he, what? Good. My English teachers will be, yeah, okay. So he trapped 300 foxes. Vayikach lapidim. He took torches. Vayifen zanav el zanav. He took two foxes and he tied a torch to the tails of two foxes together with a torch. Right? And he put it in between the two tails. So he tied the tails together with lapid in between the two of them. Yeah. So
that's Sa'bal Chaim.
Rabbi Lap is correct. Sar Bale Chaim. You know, yes, definitely.
How can you do that?
Sar Bale Chaim. How can you do this? What?
Yes.
Al-Pitar was allowed to do this because he was punching that with a lesson and he would explain why he used Shuala. So that's the reason.
So why fox? Why fox? Why foxes?
The red foxes.
Yeah, what does a redak mean? Redak writes like this. I wasn't sure exactly what it means. He says like this. Lama shualim. Lefisha shual min hago lachzor lachoref. The way that a fox goes, it always turns back. Is that... physically, I assume he means.
It always looks back.
If you see like a picture of a fox, it's not like always facing forward. Like its body is one way and it's facing towards its back. What? An owl is like that too? The night and day and be a big mess. Yeah. So the fichai adavach alapidim bein shnei aznavot. So he says, why do we do this? Why do you tie it to the tails? So So because of that, they couldn't, because of the way that their bodies are positioned, they couldn't walk so fast. They couldn't run so fast. The Rabag also writes this point. Therefore, they move very slowly. They move very slowly, which caused the fire. We'll see where the fire is going to be. The fire to spread much slower and ensure that the fire would spread in the Plishti territory. And then he says there's a deeper meaning behind this. Turning your back is not a good trait for any person to have, to turn your back on somebody. Right? So if the Shualim, that's what they physically do. He was saying that the Plishtim turned their back on the Jewish people. And the Gemara in Sota writes that this references the Shvua. We mentioned this when we first started the story of Shimshon, that Shimshon, sorry, the Plishtim and the Jewish people thousands of years earlier in the times of Avraham and Avimelech made a Shvua one another that we're not going to affect or hurt or go to war against one another. So the Plishtim started this. So he said, you guys turn your back on us. You turn your back on words that come out of your mouth. That is inappropriate. So how am I going to punish you with the animal that represents your behavior? That was, I don't know, that someone just coughed on there. That was a cynical cough. That was a real cough. I don't know. It was a good cynical cough. Yeah.
How do you justify something like that?
So sometimes Tzar Bali Chaim is lifted in deference to human needs or human endeavors. You know, Tzar Bali Chaim, let's say you need, not to compare this to something, you know, to that, but like mice that need to be tested on for medications. So we're going to say Tzar Bali Chaim, okay, you have to treat the mice well and give them, you know, well in their cages, but that's okay. That's okay. So Shimshon is probably using some type of this is justice. So justice might be a reason to allow Tzar Bali Chaim. Yeah, Mandy.
I mean, this is the second part of this. That first part is looking back. The other part is forward. Future. Look back for the debate as well. To always look to see. Make sure you're behaving on this right. Because we're watching you. That's what a person of the husband.
Yeah, you have to always, you can't ignore the Jewish people. You can't persecute them without expecting any retaliation. You know, great, love it. What? Speak loud, I can't hear. Yeah. This is a very, yeah, even though he's so impulsive in other areas, this is very well thought out. Very well thought out. Yeah, I agree. Vayav er, pasuk yod, hey, esh balapidim. He lights the torches. Vayishlach bekamos plishtim. And he sends them out into the stacks of the plishtim, into the, what's the correct, the grain fields of the plishtim. And they burnt everything down. The olive vineyards and the trees and everything burnt down. This time of the year, it's the hottest time. It's the driest time of the year. So when things are dry, like the dry fires in California that happen, unfortunately, almost every year, this was a goal. This was very premeditated, very, very methodical in terms of when exactly he did this. Now, listen to this. So now, Vayomru Plishtim Miasazos. The Plishtim say, who did this? He destroyed all our crops. And we learned in the Parsha Shir why destroying crops is so significant. It knocks you out for years. Vayomru Shimshon. Vayomru, they said, Shimshon Chasan HaTimni. Shimshon, the son-in-law of that guy. Why? He took his wife, his daughter, and he gave her to somebody else. Vesavia Baish. The Plishtim then took Shimshon's wife and her father, and they burned them in fire. They took them and burnt them in the fire.
They killed them.
They killed them. They killed them.
Yeah. Yes.
So they figured, right? They did this. Why? The Metudas David writes explicitly, Lefayes Shimshon, to appease Shimshon. Because they said, Shimshon is going to continue pillaging and destroying our fields. And if we don't do something now, then it's not going to change. The challenge with this is why do you need to go to certain extreme? It could be that this is the Plishti's justice system. Remember the story of Tamar and Yehuda. When they found out that Tamar was with another man, what were they planning to do for her? Burning her.
They were burning her, right? Yes.
The Srefa might be the common way to mete out justice for an adulterer. And if that, right, so they weren't doing, you could argue that the Plishtim were just following one crazy act was another impetuous act. So Shimshon did the thing with the foxes and they're going to burn someone else with fire too. But it could be that this is the justice system that Shimshon wanted to happen to begin with. Yeah.
I don't think that's what he wanted. He was angry at the Plishtim because they stood by and didn't do anything about this. So it seems that his anger was against the Plishtim people. He wanted to get back with his wife.
Yeah.
And his father-in-law, his sister. I don't know what happens next. It's just that he would be happy.
So. Yeah. So listen to what happened. While this is going on, you have to think, what is the reaction of the Jewish people? Put Shimshon into the context of today. Arab, people come in, take someone's wife away from them, and they married somebody else. So somebody tries to do, the Jewish husband tries to appeal. No one's helping. So he takes matters into his own hands and he meets out his own vengeance. And he destroys the whole city. He destroys all their crops and their grains and whatever parnasa the city has. Because nobody said anything when they took his wife away. Right? Just understand, it's always important to understand perspective. And so now the people like wake up and they kill the two people that are responsible, the father and the daughter. And then this guy is appeased, right? So what is going to be the Jewish people in Israel? Like, what's their reaction to this Shimshon? Like this, this lone vigilante. What do we do with him? Yeah.
Today, I think Biden has 33%,
right? 33. Yeah, it's very low. Yeah.
Something back then seemed like a lot lower.
So let's see now. Let's see what happens. You would see it's very high. Right. And you could think in recent memory to certain individuals who view Shimshon as the only way to mete out justice because no one's doing anything. Politics, bureaucracy, think of Mayor Kahana. Think of certain people that connect with the Shimshon narrative. Not everything that he does, but in that, like, Jews need to stick up for themselves. So let's continue and see what happens. We always need to put, Navi's not there to learn history. The Navi's there to relate to our lives. Vayomer lahem Shimshon, im tasun kazos inkim nikamti bachem vacharachdam. Shimshon says, if you guys would have done this, a while ago, then I probably would not have, done anything. Vayachosam shok al yerech machag dola vayered vayisha b'skif sela itam. So Shimshon then struck more people now, not foxes or crops. Kaf al yerech means he hit them calf upon the thigh. He killed them and he hid or stayed in Sela Etam, in the cleft of Etam, in a place. He stayed there. Vayalu plishtim vayachanu b'Yehuda vayinatshu b'lechu. So while this is going on, the plishtim use this as an opportunity. What do the plishtim now do? They start gathering together to go to war against Klal Yisrael. So now this has, it's not just one guy's vengeance. His actions escalated to an international incident. Right? Now there's a war. So now what do we do? Uh-oh, this is a big problem. Vayomer ish Yehuda lama alisa malenu. So the people of Yehuda said to the Plishtim, why are you doing this? Why are you coming up against us? Vayomer lasor Shimshon aleinu lasos lo kasher asalan. We're getting back because of Shimshon. We have come up to find and arrest Shimshon to do with him like he did with us. Vayerdu Shloshes Allah from Ishmi Yehuda al Sifa Sela Itam Vayomer Lashimshon Halo Yadatiki Moshlim Banu Plishtim Umazos Asisalan Vayomer Lahem Kasher Asubi Kain Asisi Lahem. They said to Shimshon, they found him, they said, what are you doing here? Your actions have ramifications for other people. There might be little kids that are going to get killed because of you, and you're responsible. You have to stop. And Shimshon says, stop. No, I'm doing what they did to me. I'm not going to stop. Vayomer lo lasorcha yaradnu lesitzcha b'yapush. We came here to arrest you. So Shimshon then says, don't arrest me. Sorry, arrest me. But swear that you're not going to do anything bad to me. You won't hurt me. But, okay, give me over to the Plishtim. And that is what happened. The Plishtim, they respond by saying the following. Vayomer lo lemor, lo ki asor nesrecha nesenucha biadam. We're going to tie you up, right? And bound you up and give you to them. Vameis lo lemisecha. And we're not going to put you to death. Vayasru bishnayim avosim chadashim. They tied him up with two brand new ropes. They knew he was strong. So they didn't use used rope, use brand new bound rope. And they tied him up and they brought him to a rock. Okay? So the Jewish people's reaction is very, very fascinating here and very significant because they feel that Shimshon gave them no choice. We may be like, maybe your approval rating is good in certain areas in Israel. Right? And in other areas, they really don't like what you're doing. But the bottom line is, you are now causing harm to the Jewish people, ourselves. That is something that right now we cannot accept. And we are tying you up and bringing you to jail and giving you to them. Shimshon didn't say promise that they won't kill. Don't sign a note, a treaty, whatever, a plea deal. I'll admit to my charges. Don't kill me. No, he didn't say that. He always says, you don't kill me. Give me over to them. We'll see what happens next week. Because what happens when the Plishtim try to, you know, take advantage of him. But the halacha here, maybe we'll have to look into this next week. The halacha here talks about sending a Jew to the authorities. Is that allowed? Are you allowed to send the Jew to the governmental authorities? Well, they said, we're coming to do this. And he said, okay, right? This has come up in the news over the recent weeks. Is this appropriate? Can you inform on somebody to the local governmental authorities? Right? Here we see maybe one of the first cases, mm-hmm. the only case in Tanakh, where the Jewish people do give over somebody, a Jewish person, to a lawless society. We just saw it was lawless because Shimshon only started this up because it was lawless. And they're like, here, take him. Yeah.
All right, last night, 16 minutes.
What's
16 minutes had a special or whatever section on who turned over Anne Frank to the German authorities.
Really?
Yeah, and some investigators took the cold case. And it turned
someone told on them?
Right? And it turned
how did they find that out?
They went back to all the files and the newspapers and everything else.
They had a lot of these things, but some probes on cuts.
Really?
Anyway, if you're not going to watch it, I'll
like someone that worked out of, like someone that worked with him.
It was somebody on the Jewish council who turned them in.
A Jewish person turned them in.
Yes.
Did he survive?
Yes, he did.
Somebody.
Yeah.
That's how they made the point of thing that they make it, they might say, this guy respects me constantly.
He had no choice. They're going to kill his family. What would you do? No? It's very hard. What would you do? Yeah. We've actually visited the Anne Frank. We had a stopover on the way to Israel.
Rabbi.
Fascinating. Thank you. Sam, you and Mandy and Honey at the same time said the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I realize
everyone is on Sunday nights. Okay. Yeah.
Rabbi,
I think this.
Wait, Nathan. Wait, one second. Nathan, what were you saying?
I wanted to say Shimshon put his whole community in danger. His own act was very, very strange to do this type of a destruction. He didn't think what the retaliation would cause. You're dealing with the Plishtim. The Plishtim was superior in force than the Bnei Yisrael. They were in control in that area.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. He's a danger, 100%.
He's a shofet, not someone who dangles around with Plishtim women.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Nathan, what were we going to say?
Certain Haredi organizations frown upon turning over a sexual harasser or molester to the authorities.
Yeah, that's what I was referencing. So we'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
We'll learn some sources inside about turning people over to the local authorities. Okay.
Right.
We'll begin with that discussion. I think it's an important discussion. It's relevant in the news, unfortunately. Okay, wish everybody a great week. Enjoy, be safe and warm, and enjoy Tu B'Shvat.
Thank you, Rabbi.
How many people do we have today?